Sidra. Sidra hadn't been to the Aeluan district before. Their community on Coriol was less technologically up-to-date than their interstellar kin, but their neighborhoods were a noticeable step up from Sixtop. The streets were well-lit, rather to Sidra's chagrin, and the buildings were clean, cared for, and, most importantly, aesthetically complementary. Everything was curved and domed, and the only colors beyond white and gray grew out of the ground. Her quick travel pod dropped her off outside the windowless establishment tax location tag had steered her to. It didn't look like much. There was no signage she could read, only a bright color plate flashing soundless words on the wall. She started to make a note, then thought better of it. For a human, even an ostensible one, recognizing Aeluan emotions was a mark of cultural savvy. Understanding their language, however, that wasn't something the average human could do, and it was the sort of thing that could prompt questions. She closed her reminder list with a flicker of regret. Tak was waiting for her. She stood in conversation with three other Aeluans, flashing their cheeks and looking congenial. She noticed Sidra approaching and called out, "Hey!" The sound was startling in the silent street. She flashed something to the others, apparently bidding them farewell, then walked Sidra's way. "Glad you could make it." "Thanks," Sidra said. She glanced at the others. "Are we joining them?" A quiet worry arose. Tak smiled blue. "Nah, we just ran into each other. Some friends of one of my father's." She leaned her head toward the nondescript building. "Come on, let's get out of the cold." She hugged a woven sort of jacket around her torso as they went. "I should live in the Andris district. They've got a hab dome heated warm enough for them to walk around naked in this." She gestured to the stars that never set as they arrived at the outer wall. "So, I don't know if you've been to one of these before," she said, pressing her palms against a doorframe. The wall melted to let them through. "One of..." Sidra scrapped the sentence as she walked through the door. "Oh," she said softly, trying not to disturb the quiet within. "We obviously don't have a spoken word for this," Tak whispered. "Clip just borrowed the Hanto for it. Rovalon. Direct translation is city field." The translation was apt. The large domed space was filled with rolling little hillocks, none taller than the kit, each covered with an inviting blanket of grass. Whatever framework rested below them had been sculpted to create leafy seats, living benches, private hollows to share secrets in, flat clearings to stretch out on. A few small trees were in there as well, creating subtle curtains and canopies. The curved walls surrounding everything were covered with projections of unending fields stretching outward, bright and clear as noon. It was realistic imagery, but the illusion had no effect on Sidra. She could tell that it wasn't the real thing, which made it easy for her to know where to stop looking. For an organic sapient, though, she imagined the effect would have been quite convincing, and indeed, the people present seemed awfully content. They were mostly Aeluan, though Sidra spotted a few others, including an Andrisk who had no qualms about lying spread-legged on his back, his discarded pants bundled beneath his head as he read his scrib. "It's not as big as the ones you get on Soep Free," Tak said, "but it's the best thing in the world after a busy day in the city." Sidra followed Tak to a sparse reception desk, where an Aeluan man sat working on a small pixel puzzle. He set it aside as they approached. Cheek flashing ensued. After a moment, he handed Tak a small rectangular device, which Sidra did not recognize. He waved at Sidra, then returned to his puzzle with interest. Tak caught Sidra's eye and made a human gesture, a finger against her mouth. Sidra understood and said nothing as they ventured into the Rovalon. No one else was talking either. It was the quietest place she'd ever been to. There was more noise in a spaceship than in here. Tak looked around, searching for a free spot. She chose a secluded hollow with a sloping seat built into it, big enough for two people to lounge with plenty of space between them. She sat. Citra made the kit do the same. The tended grass folded beneath them. Tak set the rectangular device down beside her and pressed her thumb to it. A soft beam of light shot up, then spread out around them in a wide, nearly clear bubble, touching all the way to the ground. "I take it you've never seen a privacy shield before," Tak said, catching something on the kit's face. "I haven't, no." Citra glanced over the kit's shoulder. "Is it okay to talk now?"
"Oh, yeah," Tak said, snuggling into the grass with relish. "The shield blocks all sound. It's a courtesy thing when you're in a place like this, but I figured it'd be doubly useful in your case."
"I appreciate that." Citra looked around. "I've never seen anything like this."
"Yeah, they tend to be one of our better-kept secrets. I think we forget other species don't have these."
"I meant a field, in general. I know it isn't a real one, but..."
Tak blinked. "Stars. You've never been out in nature, have you?"
Citra shook the kit's head. "I mean, there are parks near where I live, but..."
"Oh no, that's not the same. And neither is this. Wow."
Tak mulled that over as she retrieved a packet of something edible from her jacket pocket.
"I'd say you should travel more, but can you do that?"
"Sure. I don't really want to, though."
"Why?"
"Being outside is hard for me. My primary function was to observe all the goings-on within a ship. All the goings-on. If I don't have boundaries, I don't know where to stop processing."
Tak opened the packet and shook 7 pieces of candied fruit into her palm. "That sounds exhausting," she said, picking up one of the pieces between 2 fingers.
She popped it in her mouth and chewed.
"It is," Citra said. "I prefer staying inside." "Is there no way around that? Needing to observe everything, I mean."
The kit sighed.
"Theoretically, someone could alter my code to remove certain protocols, but Pepper and Blue don't know how to write Lattice, and I can't alter myself. It's a challenge."
"Like having to tell the truth all the time."
"Precisely. It's one of the things I like least about being in the kit."
Tak leaned back into the grass.
"Why do you do that?"
"Do what?"
"The kit. You don't say my body. You say the kit."
Citra wasn't sure how to explain.
"If you were talking to an AI installed in a ship, would you expect it to refer to the ship as its body?"
"No."
"Well, then, there you go." Tak did not look as convinced as Citra had hoped.
"It's a ship, though. It's not a body."
"It's the same thing to me. I was housed in a ship. I'm now housed in a body kit. My place of installation changes my abilities, but it's not mine. It's not me."
"But the kit is yours. It's yours."
The kit shook its head. "It doesn't feel that way." She started to explain further, but something about the conversation thus far was making her uneasy. Everything had been about her. She felt the kit's cheeks flush.
"What's up?"
Citra tried to condense what she was feeling. "Pepper and Blue are my friends," Citra said at last. "But they're friends born out of circumstance. Pepper was there when I woke up, and she's taken care of me since. Blue's part of the package deal of being friends with her. But you... I've never made a friend on my own before. Just gone out and picked somebody. I don't know how this works. I don't know where to start."
"Are you uncomfortable?"
"A little."
"Why?"
Citra processed.
It wasn't because Pepper and Blue weren't there. It wasn't because she was in a new place. It wasn't because... Oh, wait, yes, it was. She looked at Tack. Even if she hadn't been forced into honesty, she would have told the truth then. I'm not sure why you want to be friends with me. Right now, I feel like I'm just some sort of curiosity to you. Tack chewed her candy thoughtfully, unoffended. Tell you what. You ask me a question about myself. I'll give you a straight answer, then we'll flip it around. If I want to know something about your body, sorry, about the kit, then you can ask me something about my body in return. Anything you want to know. That's how a friendship should work. It's an even give and take. Can we ask questions about other things, too? Sidra considered her words. She knew what she wanted to say, but she didn't want to sound arrogant. There's more to me than just the kit, and the same is true for you. Tack darkened into a happy blue. Deal. And if you want, you can ask the first question. Okay. Sidra compiled a quick list and started from the top. How long has your family been on Coriel? My father's moved here a little over 30 standards ago. Tack smirked. They say it's because they knew there would be a lot of demand for parents in a place where travelers stop off. But I know it's partly because none of them fit in well on Soep Free. They're, she scratched her throat with an amused look, a bit politically vocal. Anti-war, to be precise. They don't mesh well on the homeworld. She plucked another candy from the packet. Okay, my turn. I know you read books and watch vids and stuff. Do you have a particular genre you like? I like folk tales, mythology, and nonfiction. Mysteries are fun, too. You mean human style? Tack made a face. I can't get into those. They make me anxious. I don't find bad things happening to people to be particularly entertaining. I personally enjoy trying to find all the clues, but I've spent a lot of time considering the broader appeal. And I think it has to do with the fear of death. All organics are afraid of it, and there's nothing that can be done to prevent bad things from happening sometimes. My guess is that there's an odd sort of comfort in imagining that even if something horrible happens to you or someone you love, the ones responsible will always be caught, and the people who figure it out will do so in style. Tack laughed. You make a good case. All right, your turn. How do you know when it's time to switch sex? What does it feel like? It's like an itch. Not a literal itch, though you don't know what that feels like, do you? No. Okay. It's an irritation, an urge, but it doesn't last long. The implants kick in, and I change fully within 3 days. That part's fine. It doesn't hurt or anything. A little achy, maybe, but it's not bad. Much better than it would be without my implants. How would that be? Incredibly unpleasant. Because you couldn't change? Exactly. That's how you find out you're Sean. It hits during puberty. You wake up with this itching, aching feeling, and your body isn't getting the right hormonal input to be able to respond the way it should. Because you don't live in segregated villages anymore. Right. Biology-wise, shifts are supposed to occur within a single-sex environment, which we obviously no longer have. So you start to get sick. Your hormones don't know what to do. I got my implants within a day of Father Ray realizing why I'd been dizzy and achy all morning. He took me to the clinic right away, and they fixed me up. Tack pointed at herself, indicating it was time for a question of her own. What do you have in there? She made a circular motion with her palm toward the kit's torso. Lots of things. Sidra touched the upper chest. To begin with, false lungs and heart.
Do you want to listen? Tak's face lit up, but her tone remained steady.
Are you comfortable with that?
Yes. Tak leaned forward, pressing her ear to the kit. Sidra took a deep breath.
Wow, Tak said. That's incredible. But they don't do anything?
The lungs, no, not really. They just suck air in and out to give the appearance of breathing. The heart actually behaves like a heart. It pumps fake blood throughout the kit. But the blood isn't a vital system function. You could remove the heart and I'd still be fine.
That's grimly poetic.
Sidra continued down the kit. There's a false stomach as well, which stores anything I ingest.
I was wondering how you ate. You drank mech at my shop.
The kit nodded. But again, it doesn't provide fuel. It's just for show. I'll spare you how I get rid of it, if that's all right. Tak put up her palms.
That's not a pretty thing in most species, so yeah, that's fine.
Sidra placed the kit's hands on the kit's abdomen. The core is in here, as well as the battery and the main bulk of processing circuitry.
Tak blinked. You're saying your brain is in your belly?
Sorry, the kit's belly. In a manner of speaking, but only part of it. She tapped the kit's head. Memory storage and visual processing is up here. Remember, if I were in a ship, I'd be spread all through it. I'm not limited to one processing unit. She touched the kit's thighs. Kinetic energy harvesters are laced all through the limbs and skin. Whenever I move the kit, it generates more power. Her turn for a question. Have you ever had children, either as a father or a mother?
No. I have no interest in changing my career, and I've never been fertile when female.
I'd like to, though. She grinned.
Besides, old folks will tell you that kids with a Shan parent are lucky. So, have you ever been swimming?
No. Why do you ask?
Because you said you can't breathe, and I'm jealous. You could walk around the bottom of the ocean.
Tak's eyes went wide.
You could spacewalk without a suit.
No, I couldn't.
You absolutely could.
That'd be an amazing way to get caught. Sidra looked around the Rovellon as she considered more questions. The nude Andrisk man had fallen asleep, scrib on his face. A pair of young adult Aeluans were lying on their backs beside each other, close as public politeness would allow.
You said your fathers are anti-war. Are you?
Tak rocked her head.
Less than they'd like. I think war is an idiotic way to spend resources and the precious time we have. But I don't think we're ready to just dismantle our gunships yet. Look at the Rosk, for example.
She flicked her inner eyelids.
I don't think even my fathers can argue that one.
She balled up the empty candy packet in her palm and slipped it back into her pocket.
Are you afraid of getting caught?
All the time. But, Sidra paused for 1 second, I think I should get away with more than I do now.
How do you mean?
Sidra looked at the kit's hands and paused for 2 seconds more. Pepper doesn't like it when I want to do things more in line with my intended capabilities when we're not at home. The linkings, for example. I'm capable of processing dozens of lines of thought at once. I often feel bored or stuck inside my own mind. In a ship, I'd have linking access at all times. I don't in here. Pepper says it'd be dangerous to install a wireless receiver in the kit.
She's probably right, but there must be a way to deal with that.
She doesn't want me to do things that make it clear I have different abilities. She's afraid someone will notice.
Are you afraid of that?
Sidra processed.
No, I could hide it. I would be careful. I'm frustrated with what I am now. I'm capable of so much more.
Tak reclined into the grass, folding her hands over her flat chest.
I know it's your turn to ask a question, but let's stick with this a bit.
Maybe we can think of a solution Pepper hasn't hit on.
Like what?
Tak shrugged. I have no idea. But if we can go to space and invent implants and learn how to talk to other species, surely there's a way to help you. I get that you have to be careful, but you're not like the rest of us. No offense. None taken. It's true. I mean, we're all sapients, right? Me, you, those goofballs over there. She gestured vaguely toward the youths who were staring at each other with love-struck eyes. But say I moved to Hagarem. Say, by some stroke of luck, I was the only Aeluan in a whole city of Harmagians. Would I respect their ways? Yes. Would I adopt their customs? Yes. Would I ever stop being Aeluan? Hell no. She drummed one set of fingers against the other. I get that it's a different thing for you, but that doesn't mean you have to abandon what makes you unique. You're supposed to own that, not smother it. She rocked her head, cheeks brown and determined. Where do you feel most comfortable? What kinds of places do you like?
I have a different answer for each of those questions.
Okay. I'm most comfortable at home. It's safe, and I can use the linkings, and Pepper and Blue are there with me. The kit's mouth scrunched up. But I like parties best.
Tak raised her chin.
Really?
Really. I love parties.
I love lots of crazy things happening within a set of walls. I love trying new drinks. I love watching people dance. I love all the color and light and noise.
Tak grinned.
When was the last time you went to a party?
6 days before the thing that happened at your shop. A birthday party for one of Blue's artist friends.
Tak thought for a moment. That's 38 days since your last party.
She gave a sharp nod.
That's the first thing we'll fix.